And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is stretching our thinking. My guests are talking about different way of thinking about a subject we thought we knew or thought we understood. My first guest is a white-collar criminologist. We discussed his control theory from his book, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. My next guest is a fellow at DEMOS, which is a nonpartisan public policy research and advocacy group in New York City. He coined the term invisible capital to represent the unseen forces that dramatically impact entrepreneurial viability when a good attitude, a great idea, and hard work simply aren't enough. We'll discuss his theory from his book titled Invisible Capital. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Chris Rabb is a consultant, a writer, a public speaker focusing on the intersection of social identity, media, civic engagement, and entrepreneurship. Chris is currently a fellow at DEMOS, as I said before. He is also a visiting researcher at Princeton University's Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs. From 1993 to 1995, Chris worked in the U.S. Senate and White House Conference on Small Businesses, where he focused on policies, that legislation that impact both new and established businesses. He moved to Philadelphia, and upon moving to Philadelphia, he oversaw an entrepreneurial program for urban nonprofit organization and developed its partnership with the Wharton Small Business Development Center. Later, he opened up a boutique consultancy. In 1999, Chris founded AfroNetizen, which is a pioneering email-based news services and information aggregator for African Americans nationwide that amassed over 10,000 subscribers in the first 18 months. Chris is also, interestingly enough, a stand-up comedian while in college, and he trained improvisational comedy performer and professional facilitator with Improv Edge since 2002. He's been quoted in numerous magazines and on television, too many to name right here. Chris is a graduate of Yale College, and he earned his MS in Organizational Dynamics from the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Chris. How are you today?
I'm exhausted just listening to you.
I tell you, you've had an incredible life, and just getting it down in a few words is hard to do. Thank you.
I think most of that is true, actually, what you read.
Oh, good. I'm so happy to hear that my fact finder is on the ball there. I'll have to give him an extra cookie tonight. So let me ask you this, Chris. I mean, you are a thought leader in this area, and I was intrigued by your book, Invisible Capital, because it provides information, statistics, discussion around this, what you call an uneven playing field surrounding entrepreneurial opportunities. Now, I'm going to challenge you right off the bat and say, come on, this is the United States. This is the most entrepreneurial country in the world. Anybody can be an entrepreneur if they choose to do that. I mean, what is this about an uneven playing field that you and I compete in? And I tell you why I think it's level. Over 90% of small businesses fail in the first 5 years. Now, that sounds pretty democratic, if you ask me, all of those people
90%.
Failing. Yeah. So talk to me. Why is it an uneven playing field?
Well, just look at the numbers. If you believe that everyone has an equal chance, and that, you know, with the exception of people who are, let's say, extraordinarily dim-witted or just show an awful lot of bad judgment, that the percentage of people, the business population, should be reflective of the general population. Would that make sense?
Not necessarily, and here's why. Not everybody is either a dimwit or is sharp enough to understand what the market needs, and I think that's the differentiation.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying to push back is, do you think that men are automatically better in business than women, for instance?
Not at all. In fact, okay. The statistics belie that.
Right, so 51% of the population is female, yet only 28% of the business population is female.
Again, the social factors, but go on, make your point.
Well, those social factors are part of what is wrapped up in invisible capital. So those social factors may also include residual effects of the type of sexism that has kept women out of the workplace, out of acquiring greater education, acquiring wealth. So the wealth disparity between men and women is egregious. And we know that one of the top five predictors of success in business is access to capital.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not have nearly as much wealth as your male counterpart, that may hinder your ability to start a business of scale. Now, that's not to say that the type of sexism that once existed is as rampant as it used to be. But there are still residual effects that allow for men in many areas to have advantages that they themselves may not even know they have. So, for instance, just if a woman wants to start an auto repair shop, it is so uncommon that the response to people who would otherwise be helpful may say, well, what business do you have going into this field, irrespective of her experiences, her skills, et cetera. The same may be true of men, though. So I want to turn this around. A man may come into a bank and ask for a loan from a loan officer saying, I want to raise money in order to start a daycare. And the guy behind the table or the woman may say, what's a guy doing starting a daycare center? That's absurd. Who does that? Women do that. So even though these are not necessarily structural or legal impediments to entrepreneurial opportunity, they still impact the footprints of entrepreneurs based on where you come from, kind of what body you're born into, what family you're born into, what community you're born into. So, for instance, you and I are the same age, same race, same gender, same background, same education, same work ethic. My father is a lawyer, and my uncle is an accountant, and we are both starting a bakery. You don't know anyone in either field, but you make some really good cookies.
Yes.
Who's going to do better, all things being equal?
All things being equal, again, I would say, and I'm not going to fall into the trap, because it depends. If the guy who doesn't have the relatives that are accountants and lawyers may find that his best friend is a great attorney and his sister-in-law is a great accountant. So,
right, but I said all things being equal.
All things being equal.
You don't have those connections.
All things being equal.
Right? Mm-hmm. Then the person with the better connections, irrespective of their skills, of their positive attitude, et cetera, is going to do better. I realize that all things are not equal,
right?
And that's kind of what you were suggesting, that, you know, in fact, if you don't have a parent or a relative who has this access, well, then maybe you have it through a friend, a college buddy. What if you didn't go to college?
Well,
what if you don't know about these networks? That's part of invisible capital. So essentially, just to make it really plain for your listeners, invisible capital is wrapped up in three things: human capital, social capital, and cultural capital, where human capital is your skills, your credentials, your education, your training. That's pretty straightforward. Social capital is your networks, your connections, who you know, but more importantly, who knows you. So, for instance, when people find out that I'm from Chicago, they jest, hey, do you know Barack Obama? Right? And I say, well, actually, I do.
Oh, how about that?
Mildly impressive to some people, but I would say it's far more impressive if the president knew me,
right?
And he doesn't. There are a lot of people who can claim they know the president, but how many times is President Obama going to say, oh, Chris Rabb, yeah, he's great, let's get lunch? That's not too likely, but it would be far more valuable to me as an entrepreneur if I knew people in positions of power who could help me further my plans to build my business.
All right, we're talking to Chris Rabb, everybody, author of the book Invisible Capital, How Unforeseen Forces Shape Entrepreneurial Opportunity. And Chris, I get it, social capital, cultural capital, human capital, those are the three legs of the stool, if you will. But I want to ask you another question. Is invisible capital simply a proxy for racism or sexism or classism or xenophobia or heterism or anything else?
It's not, because everyone has invisible capital, everybody. The challenge is being able to see what is not meant to be seen. So if we look at our own kind of resources, if we like the example you gave, well, I don't have an uncle or a father who's an accountant or a lawyer, but maybe I have a friend who has certain skills that I can leverage or certain networks that I can leverage to my benefit. Those things matter too. I'm really trying to, given that today's theme is kind of stretching ourselves, stretching our minds,
right,
and our assumptions, I'm really pushing back on a very old trinity of belief that is really not backed in fact, which is all you need is a great idea, a great work ethic, and a good attitude. There's no evidence that those three things individually or together correlate highly with success in business. There
right.
are a lot of smart people that we all know in our families, in our communities, who have seemingly done everything right, who are very smart, very hardworking, and they have little to show for it, particularly in this economy. And if we look at the things that have the greatest correlation, and there's a lot of data out there, and I mentioned it in my book, by entities who do this kind of work, like the Kauffman Foundation, which is really not a particularly partisan entity that is well-respected on both sides of the political aisle. They they put out a lot of research, and it shows that the top five factors for success in business really are not, in fact, based on race, class, or gender. So invisible capital really is that toolkit of hidden assets that once we understand what they are and how they function, we can better build those tools to help our own success and the success of entrepreneurs that we care about in local economies across the country.
All right, Chris. Well, let me ask you. We're talking to Chris Rabb, author of the book Invisible Capital. And in your book, you believe that an entrepreneur's advantage is primarily analytical thinking. He's better at figuring out a sure thing than the rest of us. However, most self-help books, most of the infomercials you see on TV and everything else really would have you believe that an entrepreneur's primary advantage is the entrepreneur's temperament, that she's braver than the rest of us, willing to take those chances. You don't believe that. Explain what you mean. What's the difference between the two?
Well, I think a lot of people kind of reduce entrepreneurship to whether you're a risk taker, are you a gambler, are you a daredevil, and there's no evidence to suggest that those two things are the same. I think it's comfort with uncertainty. If you have no comfort with uncertainty, I don't recommend starting a business. But there are people who are addicted to risk, but are not necessarily good entrepreneurs. I think entrepreneurship is the combination of opportunity and innovation. And we can define opportunity in a lot of different ways. But ultimately, it's about creating something new, different, powerful in ways that perhaps are unconventional. So, for instance, I say in my book, there's a difference between being a business owner and an entrepreneur.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. Great. Right. What is that difference?
Well, I think, and we need both. And I think most people in commerce are business people, and only a small subset are entrepreneurs. And a business owner is essentially someone who's starting a business to sell a product or service that has been done before in some way, shape, or form. It does not require or depend on innovation, anything that's new. Whereas entrepreneurship, whether it's a different kind of product, a service, the structure or process by which those services or products are delivered, is not only new and different, but it is highly relevant to the operation of that entity itself. To me, that is what entrepreneurship is all about. And we need that as a lifeblood of business. But we can't just subsist off of entrepreneurs. We need regular business folk, too. One is not better than the other. They have to complement each other. Because ideally, smart businessmen and women will take the path of entrepreneurs and say, oh, they have tested it. It's been radically introduced into market and society. We're going to take that and we're going to make that into a template because they were essentially the tip of the spear. And so next generations of business people can just benefit from the innovation created by entrepreneurs. So it's reciprocal.
All right. We're talking to Chris Rabb, author of the book Invisible Capital, How Unforeseen Forces Shape Entrepreneurial Opportunity. And Chris, I said at the outset when I was setting this up that 90% of small businesses fail within the first 5 years. So I'm going to ask you, let's reframe that. How can we reframe entrepreneurial success and failure? And give us some examples from your book of businesses that it seemed they were failing at first, but it turns out they succeeded.
Well, the statistic you cite is one of people's favorites, and every study has a different one, but the conclusion is the same. It is really, really hard to start and grow a business. In fact, it's really easy to start a business. It's very, very hard to actually scale that business out. So the fact that I'd like to reference first to buttress yours is it's easier getting into an Ivy League college than starting a business that lasts 4 years, generates at least $25,000 in gross revenues, and employs at least one person. That percentage is 12%.
Wow.
So when you listen to the folks on infomercials and the folks selling their books and the seminars and tapes, and you can do it too, realize that just eking by for 4 years, 12%. So it's easier to say, well, I'm just going to apply to Harvard. That's the reality of it. It's very, very hard. But here's the good news. The good news is we do come from an entrepreneurial country. We do have a lot of assistance, whether it's going to your local small business development center, which you can just Google and find, which is the closest one to you. There are a lot of good books out there. There is a lot of help, but we have to realize what kind of help we need. And fundamentally, for those of us who want to see others succeed in the entrepreneurial sphere, what we have to do is first increase our literacy, which is why I wrote the book. It's one thing to say we come from a very entrepreneurial country when, in fact, we are not the most entrepreneurial country. We're the most wealthy country that has a lot of entrepreneurs. It's a very different statement than we're the most entrepreneurial country. But the great news is we can go to different communities and say, what are the types of products and services we need to sustain those communities and help entrepreneurs build founding teams and have resources that, if they did it by their own devices alone in a garage, are not going to be as successful. So the old expression, doing good while doing well, needs to be flipped, and that is doing well because you are doing good, and that it requires great community involvement, which is also our tradition as well.
Oh, that's great. We've been talking to Chris Rabb, everybody, author of the book Invisible Capital. Chris, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you or learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I highly recommend that they check out InvisibleCapital.com or go to Facebook and go to Invisible Capital. Just type it in.
Facebook, Invisible Capital, or InvisibleCapital.com. Chris, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure.
Thank you.